Support for Alaska Public Media On Demand comes from North Rim Bank, supporting news, educational, and cultural programming across the state on Alaska Public Media.
Coming up on Hometown Alaska, host Dave Waldron will sit down with reporter Ava White and myself to discuss Alaska Public Media's Anchorage Weekender Events Roundup. We'll also talk about things to look forward to this summer so you can get out and enjoy the city and more. And on State of Art, join me, Ammon Swenson, again for a conversation about a local actor bringing a one-person play to a New York City theater festival this week. It's a unique interactive play starring Xavier Ellis Love as a cruciverbalist conducting a crossword workshop. We'll meet Love and director Janelle Walton to find out more about the play and how their mutual respect and bond carried them through the complex performance. That's all coming up next on Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media.
Consider a gift of stock to Alaska Public Media. You may avoid paying capital gains tax and receive a deduction. Learn more at alaskapublic.org/stock or contact your financial advisor.
Hello and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm Dave Waldron, and today we're soaking in all that summer has to offer with a special program dedicated to the many events happening in the Anchorage area over the next few months. Whether it's a new event our city has never seen or a recurring weekly event that you should be able to catch at least one time before summer is over, we've got you covered. And I can't think of a better pair of people to have in the studio with me today than our very own Ava White and Ammon Swenson. In addition to their host and producer jobs here at Alaska Public Media, they both also help run the Anchorage Weekender, which I'm a big fan of. It's a weekly events calendar, and it features all the best things going on in our fair city. Ava and Ammon, thanks for being with me today.
Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
So before we get into the many, many events going on this summer in Anchorage, Ava, tell us, how did the Anchorage Weekender get started?
So it was over a year ago in our newsroom, our digital managing editor, Tegan Hanlon, was like, we need to put something together of events happening in the city. Before the Anchorage Weekender, it was kind of hard to find things going on in town. I would use social media and I found some listicles that had paywalls, but here at Alaska Public Media, you know, we offer things for free. And it was also just like a really cool opportunity as someone born and raised here to like get back into the community. I feel like I know the city like the back of my hand, but like doing the Anchorage Weekender has gotten me into like different pockets of the city that I never would have gotten into.
Totally, yeah.
So it was kind of a combination of expanding our city view and bringing listeners and readers into that so they could kind of experience the city in a different way too.
Totally. I'm going to take that word listicles. I don't think I've ever heard that before. An article full of lists. Yes.
That's us.
Oh, I love that. And yeah, I agree with you, Ava. Like, I'm trying to think of when I used to get all my weekly events or monthly events from the Anchorage Press or just like word of mouth. And now that I don't go out as much and the press is dead, I'm just like, where do I find out about things going on? And it seems like social media is the obvious and easy answer. That's where people get all this information now. What are your thoughts on being forced to be a morning person and also a video person now? Because if people follow us on Instagram, they probably see your videos. And
I'm recording them super early in the morning.
Right. No. You're here at like 5 in the morning?
Five.
Like when, five in the morning. Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
I'm a morning girl at heart. I love Morning Edition. It's something I think I can ride till I retire. But it gets me excited. I don't know. Like being up early in the morning a lot of the time, it's hard to look forward to the end of the day and like look forward to things in general, but the Weekender, I don't know, there's always something in every weekend, at least one event that I'm like, wow, this is great, I'm gonna go to that. So like, I don't know, when I'm down in the dumps in the morning, at least I have something to look forward to. It gets people excited in the mornings to hear about what's going on. I don't know, it kind of taps into that community vibe and makes everyone feel like they're part of it.
Totally. And it's summertime in Alaska and people are just ready to sacrifice sleep and do more than they normally do and get out and do a lot. And
totally.
There's so much going on. Ammon, how did you get involved with the Weekender?
Yeah, so when Tegan Hanlon kind of brought the idea to us, it was just kind of a natural fit, you know, producing state of art. I'm pretty much constantly just kind of seeing different things happening in the community, what's going on, you know, typically arts, culture focused, whatever. So it's just kind of a natural fit. I was already kind of looking at stuff, compiling things like that. But, you know, there's so much stuff happening, you know, week to week, even that there's no way that we can cover it all. And so it was kind of nice to be like, well, can't have you in for an interview, but, you know, we have a place that your event can be featured at the very least. And there are so many like community events and stuff going on that, you know, it would be impossible to literally track all of them down. That would be like somebody's full-time job. But yeah, so I just got involved kind of contributing with that. And yeah, we've just, you know, in addition to the arts and culture stuff that I do, Ava and I and whoever else has been helping out with, you know, we try to give people a super diverse mix of activities that they can do. So like, maybe I'm too arts and culture focused. I might put a couple of plays on there or a concert or something. But then, you know, we'll try to throw in some outdoor activities, maybe some educational opportunities, stuff for families.
Teenagers, free teenagers. Kids events.
Yeah, yeah. And we try to mix it up too cost-wise. So, I mean, not everything can be free, but we try to include a little bit of everything. So if there is something you got to pay for, we'll always have like some free events and stuff on there as well.
Yeah, you're right. There's no way we could fit it all in on any given weekend. And we're going to try and do the entire summer in one show. So, I mean, we are going to get into that very soon so that people out there don't have to like look at 30 different websites. We've already done it for you today. So we're going to have a nice long list. But just before we do that, Ammon, what is the best way for people to get their events featured on the Anchorage Weekender? Who do they contact?
I think the most direct line would just be news@alaskapublic.org. That'll get sent to all the people that need to see it and routed that direction. Or, you know, if you are kind of more on the arts culture side of things, you can always keep emailing me at soa@alaskapublic.org.
Also, social media. If there's an event that we missed for a current week, you can always drop it in the comments. Our videos get a decent amount of views, so it's like people will still see it even if we don't include it. And yeah, like Ammon said, through our news@alaskapublic.org email is the best way.
Awesome. Perfect. Okay. Well, let's get into some of the events. I want to start out with some of the favorite weekly recurring events because we've got so many of them here in Anchorage. Ava, what's one at the top of your list for people something can catch every single week?
It's not every single week. It's most Fridays.
Most Fridays. Okay, that works.
The downtown night market in downtown Anchorage on Friday evenings is awesome. It started last summer, I believe, and it includes so many vendors and live music and other just fun events. Like, you literally go down there and there's groups of people dancing. And there's been a lot of work to revitalize downtown Anchorage.
Right.
And it's so great to go down on a Friday evening and see downtown Anchorage feel so alive. And then, I don't know, I find myself, you know, walking over to the hot dog cart and getting a hot dog and I make a whole evening out of it. But yeah, the Friday night markets are awesome, I think. Ammon?
I mean, it's the cool thing is that there are just like a bunch of different markets that have been going on and whatnot. There's also the Alaska Crafted Summer Markets. There's like Muldoon Community Market. There's all of these different ones happening different days of the week for different lengths of time. So if you want to try to find like crafted stuff or, you know, local food items, other sorts of arts and crafts and stuff, like there's tons of markets still happening. So just kind of look up any sort of market. And you'll be able to find something. And let's be honest, these are way more fun than kind of like a soulless online shopping experience.
Totally.
You get to talk to the artist, the person making it, maybe see some neighbors. Like, it's just a way more enjoyable time to shop around and get something to eat.
Yeah, I've always wanted to check out that market that you see right when you're leaving Anchorage from Muldoon and heading the Glen going north. What is that market?
I believe you're talking about the Hmong community market that they have on the regular basis.
Oh, that's the Hmong community.
It's
okay.
Awesome. It is so awesome. They have so much good food and good produce and like bulk good produce. You can find the thickest bunch of green onions ever. It's so good. And they have really good Thai tea.
Oh, wow.
It's been a sec since I've been, but pork belly and purple rice is all I have to say.
We've taken my dad for Father's Day lunch the last 2 years. Like, that's how much he loves this
really?
Market.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I actually caught a smell of it on my way out of town.
Exactly.
I was like, I'm going to go back there. And I still haven't done it yet.
So,
okay.
It's so
top
popular.
Priority.
People are always like parked all the way. Like,
yeah.
And it's awesome.
The cars go out for a while. And that should tell me everything that I need to know. Well, Ava, you mentioned it. And I know from talking to Ammon that he's raised here as well. So I think it's easy for us to know these things, what's going on in our city, because we've been here for so long, especially with the recurring stuff. But for someone that might be new to Anchorage, what do you think might surprise them about what our city has to offer? Like, what makes it so different?
That it's so community focused, mm-hmm. and that you can show up to any event and be welcomed in. It's kind of hard to find community or a sense of community in Anchorage. And as a person in my young 20s, I find myself looking for that a lot of the time. I have a hard time making friends. And so it's like I can go to these events and it's just, I don't want to say it's like curated for you to like have a good time, but it's curated for you to have a good time and feel like you are meant to be here because you are meant to be here. I don't know if that answers your question.
Oh,
but
yeah, it does. Yeah. What about you, Emma? What do you think makes these events and these markets and these recurring events that we always see special?
You know, I think maybe it's the type of thing that, you know, if Alaskans want to see something in their community, they're not just going to wait for it to happen. They're going to want to build it. And so I think a lot of the cool aspects of these recurring events, these like different markets that are, you know, happening all over, you know, just look up like any given weekend for the rest of the summer, you're going to find a market that you can go to. But I think a big cool thing about it is, you know, sometimes they're more community regionally based where they are. So it's like, let's bring this small neighborhood together. Let's bring some people into our neighborhood. And I just feel like a lot of events that happen that are for the public are really meant to build community and kind of bring people together in like a positive way, which is really cool.
Absolutely. Well, and I will say when I first started my life as a stay-at-home dad, like 8 years ago now.
Life goals.
Yeah, it was a good choice. It was a good choice. I'm happy to be back here as well. But one of the places that I really appreciated that offered free events for young people was the Anchorage Library. So they always have these great summer programs. They have these people that come back every single year, like Lee Post, who is an illustrator. He does a comic class for young people. We have this magician. His name's Robbie, and he always pops up there, and it's like totally packed with these parents that are just looking for something fun and different for their kids to do. Are you guys big readers? Do you spend time at the library?
I actually just got a library card.
Did you really?
Yes.
Okay.
Like within the last 2 weeks.
No way. All right. Welcome to the club.
I actually just got my renewed mine or whatever after years and years of not having a library card. So, yeah. We took my new baby for his first trip to the library,
yeah,
and I
yeah.
got a library card. And yeah, we're going to be going back. So actually, Dave, let me turn this back on you.
Yeah.
I've got fresh new baby.
fresh.
What ideas for kind of young kids at the library? What, you know, you're talking about it, but what are some of your favorite things? Or when your kids were my kids' age?
Yeah, I think just reading is so important for young kids and even babies. That was the thing that really surprised me. Just the research that I did, or mostly that my wife told me about, was that, like, yes, you need to read to your baby. Like, it seems kind of almost silly at first when you do it, but it's so important to their brain development, and it's so important to get them excited to read, and then that leads them to be great students and great thinkers. So just taking them to the library and being around books is important. That's really all you need to do.
Osmosis.
Yeah, I mean, they do. They suck it in. But also, I mean, they've really improved the library since I was a child. I mean, they did a lot of renovations. They have this, like, interactive, you know, wall that kids can mess with and do kind of STEM stuff with their hands. But they also have these great events that are, like, readings to really small kids, like to babies. They do like a weekly reading. Just really lots of great opportunities for parents that or caretakers to take their kid and do something fun and different. And like I said, just be around books.
Totally. It's like a low commitment. Pop in and
free.
Out.
Free.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
And it's always free. That's right.
One of the last few places you can just go hang out for free.
Yeah.
And there's so many locations. We have like 4 or 5 different library locations.
Yeah, it's easy to forget that. You know, with LUSAC is always getting all the glory, but there's a couple of really, really great libraries.
Yeah,
yeah.
Eagle River,
just really quick. Yeah, Chugiak, Eagle River, Mountain View, Muldoon. Looks like they've got like a wing out in Girdwood. I don't think I've ever been to the wing out in Girdwood.
The Girdwood Library is amazing. I can't recommend it enough. If people haven't been out there before, and also it's part of the network of Anchorage, so you can check out books and then return them in Anchorage, you know, and they'll send them back to Girdwood. Unlike the other places, like I've tried to check out books in Homer and they're like, well, you can't do that. You can buy some books from this little bin over here, but you may not check out our books. So it's not personal. I didn't take it personal, but Girdwood, you're allowed to check them out in Girdwood and return them in Anchorage. But yeah, beautiful library. It's really small, but it's every like little inch of it is well thought out and
that's awesome.
Beautifully made. So another good event for people that are looking to take kids out to do something cool, weekly events specifically, is the Alaska Zoo. So the Alaska Zoo has a lot of events that people can check out. I always took my young kids to the story time at Alaska Zoo. So they would read you a story about an animal, and then after the story, they would walk you over to the animal and do like a fun facts thing. But before we go to break, I want to make sure to touch on the most obvious recurring event that happens in Anchorage, the First Friday event going on. Ava, what are some things going on for First Friday that you're aware of this time around?
I mean, downtown Anchorage is just popping on any given First Friday of the month. Usually, personally, I always start off at the Anchorage Museum, which is open for free from 6 to 9. And then, I don't know, I usually just kind of bounce around from little shop to little shop. There's so many down in Anchorage. And there's, I think it's called Anchorage First Friday. There's a website that has a map that puts it all together.
Right, yeah.
And so there's dozens that participate. So it's really fun.
I'm glad.
It's different week to week. So it's like, you know, either different venues. You know, there's a lot of the same venues that you can go week to week. But then, you know, the venues change, the artists change. It's always something new. You know, often there's live music. Maybe there's some refreshments at these various places. And then, yeah, I just get to go into some of these little independent either galleries or shops or whatever. And I mean, 90% of the time you get to meet the artists too, which is super cool.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned the museum there, Ava, because, yeah, it is free once a month on First Friday. And they also do at the Anchorage Museum have the Lunch on the Lawn series. I wanted to make sure to mention that. Another free event that you don't have to pay admission
twice
for.
Twice a week.
Twice a week, every Tuesday and Thursday, you can go there and hang out in the sun. They have games, they have musicians, and on occasion, I got lucky once and I got to see the Chomper, the turtle that usually lives in the museum. They brought him out and put him in the grass and he was just walking around.
He's probably really slow.
So, yeah, he was very slow. He's an old guy, but it was so cool to see him somewhere else other than his enclosure. So yeah, Anchorage Museum's a great place to hit up there for recurring weekly events as well. We're going to cut to break. We'll be back with more summer events with the Anchorage Weekender creators here, Ammon Swenson and Ava White. I'm Dave Waldron, and you're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media.
Consider a gift of stock to Alaska Public Media. You may avoid paying capital gains tax and receive a deduction. Learn more at alaskapublic.org/stock or contact your financial advisor.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm Dave Waldron, and today we're going over some of the best and most anticipated Anchorage events that are taking place over the summer. And with me in the studio is Alaska Public Media's morning news host, Ava White, and Hometown Alaska producer, Ammon Swenson. They both help run the Anchorage Weekender, which is a weekly events calendar that you can find both on our website, alaskapublic.org, or you can just follow us, Alaska Public Media, on any social media, and you'll see Ava in the morning there doing her videos. Ava, I don't know if you actually answered the question about do you like being on video, you know, as a radio person. I think you might have dodged that one.
She's an astute media personality.
I like it because I feel like it brings in a different audience. I feel like it brings
that's
in...
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We've talked a lot in the newsroom about, like, reaching our audience and coming to them, and social media is a great way to do that. I don't always feel the most presentable at 4 a.m. in the morning.
That's the thing, yeah.
But on the days where I have to record my Weekender, I'll put a little bit more effort in and it all goes well.
Absolutely. I love your very political, calculated answer there. I would just say I hate being on video.
Oh, no.
They make me do it sometimes and I don't like it. So
I've grown into it.
Oh, that's great.
You know, you're
clearly more adaptable than I am.
Ava will always step up where needed, even if it means going on camera.
She shakes her head no. So, well, we've got a lot of recurring events over the summer, lots of craft fairs, music, animal adventures, which we already talked about. But let's talk about some events that people might want to actually mark on their calendars because they don't happen every week. Things that people will be sure to want to check out. Ava, what are some of the events that are happening in the near future, like July to early August, that you can think of?
Personally, I'm really excited for Rock the Hill this next weekend. I'm going to be volunteering on Friday, which I'm really excited for. I'm really excited to see Bethlehem Shalom. She is such a unique artist, and she has such a unique sound. But what I really like about this concert is it really promotes Alaska's local artists, and there's so many playing throughout the weekend, so it's kind of like a one-stop shop, and you can hear, you know, a bunch of different local voices. And I think a lot of Alaska bands are so underrated. Mm. And so, I don't know, I'm always surprised every time I hear one. So I'm really excited to go see, hear, dance around, vibe it out.
Yeah. So what was the artist you said? Bethlehem Shalom?
Bethlehem Shalom.
So I actually had Bethlehem Shalom on State of Art back in the day when she had, I believe she had just returned to Anchorage from California after like finishing like audio engineering school or some like audio production school or something. But she has an incredibly unique sound. I struggle to think of other people that actually sound like her.
She transports you back to like, I don't know, like the 70s, 80s.
Well, and it's all kind of the same. Yeah, it's like 70s, 80s kind of at the same time. But also, you know, every song is, it's kind of like a mixtape. So you're like, what the heck is even going to come up next? Super interesting set of music. And she's just kind of the whole package for like, you know, a potential pop star. Her social media, all the stuff she puts out. Yeah, she rocks.
Well, and I feel like we're really getting a lot of newer artists coming to Anchorage lately. A lot of that has to do with this, you know, Showdown Alaska group here, which they're doing a lot of good work. I feel like they always bring up artists that I know, which is exciting. And then some that I'm actually really excited to see, which I feel like we had a pretty big lull in that after COVID, of course. It's just good to see live music back in our city again.
For sure.
Ammon, I know you're a music guy. Anything you're looking forward to coming up this summer?
Well, I mean, it's kind of been going on all summer, but, you know, the Anchorage Concert Association has been doing these concerts in the park where they're just kind of various parks around town. They'll schedule a band to play there. It's a free concert. So it's kind of like helps bring like a neighborhood community together with a free concert. But then also, you know, bring some other people from outside of that neighborhood to, you know, mix and mingle with the locals and watch a concert. But yeah, so there are, I believe there's just two more left for the summer concert series. It's got Good Company at Stephenson Park, Thursday, July 23rd. And then a band I have a lot of history with is Nervous Rex, Cuddy Family Midtown Park, July 30th. That will be a super fun one.
Ammon, when a ska guitarist drops their guitar, what do they need to do?
Pick it up. I've actually had multiple, and I'm sure other people who are listening, you've probably had a teacher who is a musician at Nervous Rex at some point. So I've had multiple teachers appear in that band. So.
Yep. Well, Ava, I know we call it, you know, the Anchorage Weekender, but there's a lot of adjacent things going on in Anchorage. We include Eagle River and Girdwood sometimes in it. Have you ever been to the Blueberry Festival
and
in
I'm,
Girdwood?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I've always wanted to compete in the blueberry pie competition. I'm pretty confident, but...
As a baker, or is there an eating competition?
It's an eating competition.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I haven't been for about 3 or 4 years, so I'm a little rusty.
Maybe we should do it.
Okay.
We'll all do it.
Should we all, can we be like on a team eating competition? We'll all just split various pies.
That should be an event. Hey, someone.
Like, oh, we finished one.
Yeah, no.
Delicious.
And then, like, we just passed Forest Fair, but
right.
Girdwood events are so unique. And it's fun, too, because most people going out there are driving to go to that event because it's what 45 minutes away.
Yeah,
you know, it's a real draw and it's a lot of fun. And then there's so many other small businesses, I think, in Girdwood that, I don't know, that economic ripple kind of goes out. It's a good vibe in the community for sure.
It's an important thing to celebrate in Alaska, the blueberry.
Blueberries.
The great blueberry. And they do such a great job showcasing it as well.
I was on the phone with Casey Grove, Alaska News Nightly host, not too long ago, and he was biking into work, and he mentioned that he saw blueberries on his way into work. And I was like, oh.
Really?
It's a little bit early.
That seems early to me. Okay.
Maybe he's wrong, but either way, it gets me excited for berry season.
What a terrible thing to lie about if you
come on.
It's like, Ava, you should go get all these blueberries out of here. Wow. Okay. Well, that is okay. You heard it here, people. I'm always looking for the first reports of blueberries because I hate going out early and just like walking around and not getting any, just like I hate going fishing and not catching fish. I'm one of those people that I'm not in it for the experience by itself. I'm in it for the experience and then the haul. I want you know, the berries. I want the salmon. I want the reward. Yes. Okay. So there are berries out. Maybe a lot of our listeners already know that,
But if our listeners have any spots, their secret spots that they want to share.
Yeah, right.
Hey.
Email Ava White, awhite@alaskapublic.org, all your best blueberry spots, and she will share them with the staff here at Alaska Public Media.
We'll clear it out.
Well, if there is one thing that we do really well in Anchorage, you guys, I would say it's our trails. We have really incredible trails here in Anchorage. They're so well maintained for cross-country skiing, of course, in the winter. It seems like a huge focus for them, but also just biking and running in the summer. Ava, do you know about any biking events going on in the next few months?
I know a lot about the biking events. I don't own a bike.
You don't? Okay. Well, I appreciate you doing this research for our listeners.
Yeah. So there's been bike tours throughout the summer in different parts of town. Later this week, there's going to be one in Spinard. And I found Bike Anchorage has been a really great resource. They have a really great website that clearly lists all of these events. And what's really cool is a lot of the downtown summer events, like Live After Five, for example, they offer what's it called when you can lock up your bike, a bike valet.
So
I mean, you don't have to pay for parking and you don't have to worry about parking, just bring your bike.
Cars.
Exactly. So that's really cool. Later this weekend, there's a distance mountain biking event on Saturday. And then I have never done it, full disclosure, but it's really cool that we have the Moose Loop here in Anchorage. It's a trail that looks like a moose on a map. It's about 32 miles long, but also this upcoming weekend, people can choose to do the Moose Loop. They can choose 1, 2, 3 times, but keep in mind it is 32 miles. So if you do it 3 times, that's nearly 100 miles of biking. But yeah, there's going to be treat stations along the way, and there's a couple bike to work events throughout the year.
Right.
Yeah, Bike Anchorage has been a really great source for that. And then there's also, they usually happen on Mondays or the end of the week, they'll have like bike brewery tours.
Oh, yeah.
Like you start at Sinisher Brewery off of Potter, and then you end up at On-Site Brewing off of Denali Street. I don't know. It's fun.
Yeah. I didn't realize that Moose Loop was shaped like a moose. That's super cool.
Really?
I have heard of Moose Loop.
What did you think it was?
I don't know. We name things for all kinds of silly reasons here. Usually because of a politician or someone that gave money to something.
Yes,
or, you know, we have Mosquito Lake nearby here. It's not shaped like a mosquito, but there are tons of mosquitoes there. I figured it was a popular spot for moose.
I think there probably are a lot of moose along the moose trail.
It could be both. And if you do the loop 3 times, Ava, you said that's almost 100 miles.
96.
Do you get like, they call it the century challenge.
Oh,
that's what they call it.
Century challenge.
Yeah. I would say you need to do the loop 3 times and then 4 more miles. So I mean, don't lie to yourself about 96 miles. You might as well go the last 4. Well, I asked Ava about biking, even though she's not a biker. Ammon, I'm going to ask you about running, even though you might not be a runner. What about running events? I know we have so many going on. I mentioned the great trail systems we have. A really prominent, very active running group of people here in Anchorage. What are some running events going on?
Well, have you know, I was a varsity cross-country runner.
Really?
Oh, it was a 50-50
back in the day.
It's so you were a runner. Okay, cool.
And I run for necessity every now and then. but yeah, I mean, there are tons of stuff happening. I mean, on August 1st, there's the Alaska Distance Classic. It's one of those ones you can run or walk, 5K, 10K, or you can double up. And if you double up, you'll get kind of like a special finisher medal. And I believe this actually helps support the Special Olympics Alaska. And it sounds like there's going to be root beer floats at the finish line for all. Sounds pretty good to me. So, I mean, that starts at APU and then kind of winds around that the University UMed District area. So that sounds just kind of like a fun one. You can just kind of put as much effort into it as you want. I mean, but that's like most of these fun runs, right? You just do it. You're not doing it to necessarily win. You're doing it to get out there and enjoy yourself and do something healthy. But there's also the Anchorage Run Fest, which is August 15th. And you can essentially just kind of go as far as you want. There's a bunch of different races that you can select from. There's also going to be like seminars, food options, just like a legitimate kind of festival focused on running with like kids races, you know, full marathon stuff, even further. So that's August 15th to 16th. And so if you're into running, that sounds like the event for you.
Or even if you want to be inspired to run, anything that has a 5K, I'm excited about. That's my limit. I will run a 5K. You have one of these runs that are half marathon minimum, I will not be there. So I love that they have 5, 10.
There's another one. It's a bit far out. It's September 27th, but okay. There's a 5K option and a 1 mile option.
Ooh.
And it's to support
even more.
It's to support missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit. And what's cool about this too is, like, if you care about something, there's probably a run for it.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So I don't know, if you're passionate about something, check it out.
Yeah, and it's a win-win. So, you know, you get out there, you get to be part of the community that are passionate or interested in this topic, and then you get exercise. And if you're lucky, a root beer float.
At the end, so. Or
and
a medal.
And a medal.
Well, and also it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, it's a very, like, you shouldn't be intimidated. You know, it's a community kind of run and stuff. No one's expecting anybody to be the next Olympian coming through. You know,
no,
I think most people are just, No, everybody's just happy that some people are coming out, being healthy, experiencing the city.
So there are other running themed events going on too, Ava. You know about one specifically happening this Sunday, right?
Yeah, it's a Mud Factor for those that want to get down and dirty. I'll have you know, I just did my first 5K, so I might I might actually do this. It's a 5K obstacle run with mud. Pretty self-explanatory, but there's things you have to climb over, mud pits, water slides, and then there's also a kids run. Too.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah, photos make it look super interesting.
And so
maybe
dirty.
Even fun to just watch.
That shower must be crazy.
Yeah, I wonder if they have showers on site.
Maybe.
Where does it
probably
take place?
Just hosing
it's
you
up
off.
At Kincaid.
Okay, so at Kincaid. So they just turn it into like a mud obstacle course. This is like a national company, by the way. This is not run locally. So I don't know if they've been to Alaska before, but the pictures make it look pretty wild and fun. Just like total mud fest. And really fun way to get out and get some exercise.
Yeah, and it says that there's no first and last place, so
everyone's a winner.
Everyone wins.
Okay, all right. That's fun. Well, Ammon, any last couple of events that are coming up on the calendar that you can think of that you would like to tell the listeners about?
Well, you know, while we're kind of like still in the depths of summer, it's still July, and, you know, I'm sure people are still heavily into gardening and whatnot right now. On July 25th, you can go to the Anchorage Soil and Water Conservation District Native Plant Nursery in Government Hill Commons and check out a bunch of different plant vendors. So, I mean, if you want to start turning your garden into a, you know, totally native plants and just kind of have it be able to, you know, just be a completely Alaskan-y type of garden, that sounds like a really good way to just kind of convert your place into a little Alaskan escape in your own backyard. But yeah, and I mean, also, you know, speaking of plants too, I mean, we could have mentioned this in the recurring stuff, but I mean, Alaska Botanical Garden is always doing different things. I believe that does require a membership, but you can also, you know, pay for one-offs. They do art stuff, plant walks. I believe they might also do some story times as well.
They do story time. They do yoga at the Botanical Garden, so you can go hang out in a perennial garden and do yoga. They have a bird TLC tent now. I just noticed it last week. We were just at the Botanical Garden last week, and they have this netted off area dedicated to bringing in a bird and doing presentations there. So, yeah, really, really cool spot to be hanging out this time of year, because you could go there every single week and it just looks different. So week to week to week to see what's blooming and what's blowing up over there. So definitely recommend that one too. Ammon, I think you had one other thing you wanted to mention.
Yeah, you know, honestly, it's been a second since Hometown Alaska has had any quilters on, but I will say it was back in the day, it was Kathleen McCoy who had the Quilters Guild in, and man, I did not expect this studio to get so rowdy with so many of these quilters hanging out just getting interviewed. It was crazy. That being said, the Great Alaska Quilt Show, September 13th. They've got like raffle quilts. They'll have lots of handmade quilts for everyone to check out. You know, they'll have a small auction. There will be a lot of groups, you know, with little tables, giveaways, stuff like that. Sounds just like, you know, a full festival with, you know, food, stuff like that. All themed around the awesome quilting community here.
What are each of you most looking forward to? If you could just pick one event that you're looking forward to end I know it's hard to think about summer ever ending when it's here and we're in the middle of it, but what's one thing you're both looking forward to the most? We'll start with you, Ava.
It's not in Anchorage, but on July 30th, I'm going down to Hope at Creek Bend Cafe and going to go see Goth Babe before Salmon Fest.
Ah, yes.
So yes. I've been listening to Goth Babe for probably 4 or 5 years. I've DM'd him several times. And yeah, so I freaked out when I saw he was coming up. So I'm really excited to go see Goth Babe. And I've never been to Creek Bend.
Okay.
Which also has tons of great weekly events. So.
I love that
concerts.
When an artist that you've been listening to actually does decide to come up to you and you're like, oh my God, I actually currently listen to you. Not 20, 30 years ago, you were
right.
You were big.
And I want to mention that we will be having a Hometown Alaska program dedicated to Salmon Fest. And that is the reason we didn't spend a lot of time talking about that as one of the many summer events going on in Anchorage. But yes, Goth Babe will be playing there along with a lot of other great headliners and local bands. I think something like 60 plus bands, if I'm not mistaken. So we will have a Hometown Alaska airing in 2 weeks from today on just Salmon Fest. Ammon, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
Man, you know, with a new baby, it's I'm looking forward to getting some sleep, hopefully getting outside a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, I kind of have a baby running my life right now. But so I'll nibble around the edges of summer where I can. But, you know, an event that I saw that might be worth it for people to check out, especially just kind of in this day and age, is the We Are Anchorage Multicultural Festival happening on July 25th. It's just meant to, you know, celebrate the rich cultural diversity of Anchorage and just kind of everybody that lives here. And yeah, just kind of a big party that you can go celebrate the diversity of this city.
I want to thank both my guests, Ava White and Ammon Swenson. They both run the Anchorage Weekender. In addition to their many roles here at Alaska Public Media, thank you to you both for coming in, and Ava for staying late. It's noon. I'm sure she's already ready to clock off for the day, and Ammon for coming in early, potentially. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
After this short break, we'll be back with State of Art. Hey, I know the person that runs that show. I'm your host, Dave Waldron, and you're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media.
From Alaska Public Media, this is State of Art. July 15th and Saturday, July 18th. We're joined by Love and Walton, who have kept in touch since they met as student and teacher. Love says that while the production is minimal, the complexity might surprise audiences.
It's a beautiful mix of comedy and drama and just the whole meta of theater, which I was always so fascinated with. When I was in New York, I got to see all sorts of theater that was experimental, that was classical. And so I just had this idea of wanting to bring that kind of theater here to Anchorage because I just felt our artistic community needed something fresh and new and innovative. And it was a kind of play that I personally, when I read it, I was like, I would love to see this play, you know? And so that's basically what I would say it's about without giving too much away.
Yeah. The only thing I would add to it is we are dealing with an unreliable narrator, an unintentionally unreliable narrator. And that does add so many layers to what's going on and what's being revealed in this particular production. And the playwright, Donna Hoke, has done an amazing job of weaving in a puzzle within a puzzle. And you have to puzzle out what's going on with this person who is running the show and telling us everything. And in terms of, you know, interpretation of this text, we spent a huge amount of time talking through and really peeling away the layers of what is going on with this particular character. And so the audience is going to go through that same process of understanding that they're not just solving the crossword puzzle that is up on the board for them to look at, but the puzzle of the cruciverbalist. What is going on with this cruciverbalist?
Yeah. So actually, something that I read about this play that I thought was pretty interesting in the context of the kind of complexity of the writing and the interactive theater elements and stuff like that, I was reading that they describe it as a masterclass in economical writing. So that's interesting that it has all of these other aspects to it, yet it's supposed to just be so straightforward. Like the writing and stuff is extremely straightforward and kind of not minimalist, but How would you kind of talk about that?
Yeah, I would agree. I would say that, you know, the thing that makes this script so brilliant is that Donna Hoke, the playwright, she herself is also a cruciverbalist. So she absolutely had the point of view of understanding all of the nuances of creating a crossword puzzle. And the fact that she was able to take an individual story and sort of weave it into this narrative that is so brilliantly coaxed together, it just marks all of the checkmark boxes, you know? I mean, you get everything in it without expecting too much. And kind of like you said, it's very minimalistic. You know, the set is pretty simple, straightforward. We didn't have to spend, you know, too much money, you know, trying to create the world of the play because the writing is so great. It really feels like a gift as an actor, you know, when you really read a play and a piece of work that feels like it was almost written for you in a non-narcissistic way, where it's like, I get to interpret these words. I get to understand this character in my own way that's different than before. And what I love so much about this particular play is that the puzzle maker can essentially be played by any actor, man or woman. And that just, for me, excites me because it makes me think of all of the other future interpretations of this play and just all of the number of people who are probably going to have a ball being able to dissect this play the way that we've got to, you know.
I'm terrible at crossword puzzles. I really am. And so, you know, as we're reading through this script and we're watching this crossword puzzle happen, I mean, the most difficult part of this was Xavier having to memorize not just the entire crossword puzzle, but like the order in which each of the words happen. And you have to do that for the audience. That just absolutely blew my mind that, you know, and we had to go over that and over that. It was tough. But for her to write it that way and then to, you know, tweak everything. But the thing that was interesting to me, as someone had said, the economy in which these words are, you really have to pay attention because like little things are dropped and they're very much like a crossword puzzle, these teeny tiny little hints. And you have to figure out what fits in the box. And you really have to pay attention because sometimes some information happens and then the mystery starts slowly unfolding itself as you get to the end of it. And then there's this big like, whoa, okay, now we know what's really going on here.
I kind of want to go back in time just a bit. So it sounds like, was the Alaska premiere when you did it last year in January?
Yes, we had a very limited run at Anchorage Community Theater. We performed from January 8th to, I believe, January 12th. And so it was, the weather was not too kind to us
goodness.
That week.
You should look up the weather report that those
it
days.
Was, but we were so incredibly grateful for all of the people that came out to support us despite the weather conditions. I mean, well, we had a windstorm opening night, a snowstorm the next, like,
and then an ice storm the third.
You know, and so there were supposed to be more people that were supposed to come, but unfortunately, you know, weather didn't really permit it. But, you know, we were able to make profit after two performances, which is not very common, you know, especially working with a one-person show that has such a limited amount of time on stage.
And maybe a testament to the theater-goers in Anchorage, I
absolutely.
Guess.
Shout out to all of the theater-goers and everyone who came out to support our play. We love you so much.
So had you ever done a one-person show prior to this one, or was this your first one?
This was my first.
Is that daunting? I mean, what was that like initially coming into this? I mean, you've got Janelle as your director to kind of, you know, a little bit of support, but you're out there all by yourself.
Yeah, it was very daunting, you know, and that, I think, is what made me say yes. You know, after I left drama school in 2020, I just felt that there was something still missing in my artistic journey because I left before I was able to actually do an actual production, because I went to Stella Adler Studio of Acting. And so the way that they would have it is they would do 2 years of training. And then after those 2 years, you would do a production, you know, a full length production with a cast, you know, so that way they could see whether or not you actually learned anything during your time there. But the pandemic happened. And so I wasn't able to be a part of that production. So I never actually got to see for myself whether or not I actually learned anything. But I remember doing Drama Debate Forensics when I was in high school. And so they were like, you know, short one-person plays. They were short 10-minute pieces where I got to play a plethora of different characters. You know, it was comedy, it was drama. And I missed that so much. And I felt that that was really what I wanted to do. I thought I was wanted to go to grad school. I thought I was, you know, supposed to be at Yale. But it just felt like the universe told me, no, you don't need to be at school, Xavier. You need to be doing the work. Like, you've been out of the classroom, so let life be your work, you know? And so I asked myself, okay, well, what is it I really want? on. I just want to be on stage just for the sake of it. And so I just came up with the idea of, all right, well, let's do a one-person show. And so the idea of being able to reach out to Miss Walton as my director was, it was a little daunting because I thought that, you know, she wouldn't want to direct me. Oh my gosh, she probably got sick and tired of me over in high school.
This guy again.
Exactly. But she was so excited, and it really did not take much for her to say yes. You know, I mean, I met her with the script one day, and what the first thing she said was yes. And we didn't even sit down and talk about the script or anything like that. It was just yes. But, you know, going back to the whole idea of doing a one-person show, you know, it is very scary. But, you know, when you really love it so much, when the story is so rich and it's something that you can really sink your teeth into, it really does feel like an experience that you share with the audience. And that's exactly what it felt like every performance. You know, it felt almost like a ritualistic sort of thing, because the audience does serve as almost like a scene partner for me in a way, you know, because they do get to talk back to me. I do get to communicate with them throughout the play. So I'm not technically by myself, you know what I mean? And just the fact that every performance we're going to have a different audience, that definitely helps keep me on my toes. Sometimes we would have audience members that were very enthusiastic, you know, and then there are times where we might have to be ready for crickets.
We spent a lot of, well, you can hear the passion in his voice. I didn't, you know, it traditionally someone else picks out the script, and it usually isn't the actor, but this was a passion project, as you can hear from Xavier. He knew the script and he was excited about it. And I was excited to get to work with him again, because he was in a production here in local theater, not at the high school level. And so I didn't get to have that last hurrah for senior year. And so this was our opportunity to get to work together again. But the one element that was just the most interesting with the script is the interaction with the audience, because you just have no idea what they're going to say. He puts out the questions to them and they could say anything. And so we spent a lot of time with me just throwing wild information at him just to see what he would say, and then go, nope, that's not how you should answer that. Or, oh, perfect. That'll work great. And so he always had to figure out how to segue as the cruciverbalist and stay into that character, and how to do the improv and that moment, because it is built into the script that, yeah, the audience is part of this production. And it's always interesting watching the audience, because they start out a little timid at first, and then they realize, holy cow, I really do get to be part of this.
Is this okay? Is this allowed?
Yeah. They and then they get excited because they realize that the questions that they were writing down at the beginning of the show, he's actually answering them, like, for real. And that seemed to generate some interesting / wild behavior, sometimes depending upon where people were at any given moment. And he would have to try to figure out how to, you know, help get them back to focus. And it was nice to interact and have that moment with the audience, to make them feel like they were contributing something to this end product that was a little bit different at the end each time because of their contributions to those moments where they got to have that interaction with him.
I mean, Xavier, you said that basically what's kind of cool about this story is that anybody could play the lead. What would you say that Xavier brings to the role that nobody else could?
I would say that Xavier brings his own fresh humanity, his own sense of vibing in the world that we live in today. Because I think what I love so much about this character that I got to be able to do was the aspect of, I got to make this character queer, like myself. And it's very rare for me to be able to see myself reflected in any shape of media, whether it's television, film, or theater.
You're at the whim of the script writer, or yes, the story. Or
And so for me, the way that I wanted to approach this was, I really wanted to be intentional and also very specific about not being self-referential either. You know, I mean, there are many things about this character that I would never do. There are many things that this character would say that I personally would never say, but I understand where they're coming from, and I understand why they are choosing to do the things that they're doing. And so I think for me, I really had to remind myself to not be so judgmental of them as well. You know,
of the character.
Yes. I mean, you should never be judgmental of your character. character that you're playing. Otherwise, it's just, it really does limit you in terms of creating the full 3D product of the character. Instead, I feel like you just make a caricature in that way. And so that is not what I wanted at all. And at the same time, there are certain demographics that are represented in this play that we did also want to stay respectful of. Mm. And so we really did want to make sure that we were telling a very specific story about a very specific individual who was having a very specific experience in this specific moment in his life.
I'd say that what Xavier brought to this is, I think when people first read this particular script, their first thought process is that the puzzle maker must be a woman. Because of certain themes that are brought in there. And I think that that's like a prejudice that we have as a community, mm-hmm. that only women can experience and go through what this particular puzzle maker has gone through.
Even if the text says nothing about gender or anything like that.
Correct. And so what's important is, I think, the choice to play it as a male in a queer situation is that it helps the audience to realize and open up their thought process about the experiences that other people have are not just limited to a certain group, that this is something that can unfortunately happen to a lot of different people. And that when you limit yourself in your thinking, you're really limiting yourself in your ability to have empathy for a larger group of human beings.
That was Xavier Ellis Love and Janelle Walton. We're discussing their production of The Crossword Play, or Esmeralda's Gift. The show will have performances in New York City in July for the Midtown International Theater Festival. We'll have links and ways to help them out on our website. And that's all for State of Art. I'm Ammon Swenson.
And that's all for our show. Thanks to my guests, Ava White and Ammon Swenson. You can find us at the Hometown Alaska page on alaskapublic.org, the Alaska Public Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dave Waldron, and thanks for listening.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.